Welcome to this third episode of Inglese Vero podcast. I'm here with Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
So Barbara is my dear friend and let's say colleague or past ex-colleague or...
Yes, ongoing. Colleague. Yes. We're both teachers, so
yeah.
We are colleagues.
So yes, she's an English teacher and a friend and a translator and...
Interpreter.
An interpreter. So we have a lot of things in common. We work together with Barbara. Barbara has a very interesting story about how she learned English and how she uses English on an everyday basis. So Barbara, tell us about something about yourself. I don't know. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? I don't know. Something just...
Also
to practice some basic language, you know, from or whatever.
Hello, everybody. I'm Barbara and I am from Osimo, which is, I'm local. I'm a local. I live near where Stefano lives.
Yeah, which is in the Marches, you know, Le Marche in English is the Marches.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I'm a teacher. I teach English. I worked with Stefano in the past. At the moment, I'm working in a school, in a public school.
The public school, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I started learning English at school, like I suppose everybody else in Italy, in the middle school, Scuola Media.
Oh, Scuola Media, middle school. Yeah.
Yes.
Which doesn't exist in England, middle school.
No, doesn't. It doesn't. So it's our translation.
It's our translation, yes, middle school.
Scuola Media.
I think some other countries have middle school, but it's very complicated anyway.
And then I went to Liceo Linguistico.
Uh-huh.
Again, we can't translate because there's no Liceo Linguistico in England. It's simply high school.
It's simply high school. So in Liceo Linguistico, you studied English,
French, and Russian.
Russian?
Yes, from the third year.
You know, yesterday, I was thinking about learning Russian.
It's a nice language, very difficult, but interesting.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so. Yeah.
It's a pity that now I can't remember anything.
How do you say hello, how are you in Russia? Do you remember?
Здравствуй. Как дела?
На здоровье? No, what's на здоровье?
На здоровье...
You have a Russian accent.
It's like cheers.
And
then after high school, I went to university. The university for interpreters and translators.
Oh, the same as...
I specialized in foreign languages.
You did the Forlì?
Forlì, yes. Oh. Bologna. It's the University of Bologna, but the school for interpreters and translators is in Forlì.
Forlì, which is, I remember, is notorious for its strict methods.
Very tough.
Yeah. I think it's the toughest.
So it's like a military school.
After Trieste, I think, was the second toughest.
Yes, they were equal. It was born after Trieste.
Yeah.
It was like the twin sister of Trieste. Same system, same...
Yeah. Very tough.
We shared most of the professors.
Ah, okay.
Trieste and Forlì. Uh-huh. They used to teach in both.
Why did you say professors and not teachers?
Because at university, you are a professor. You're not a teacher.
So the only difference is that at school, it's a teacher and university is professor. No, because in Italian, we say professor in all...
Yes.
even at the elementary school.
Exactly.
Okay, when you started studying English at the middle school, how did you find it? How was the English there? I mean, how did you feel about English? You loved it?
Yes, I loved it. Well, I couldn't wait, actually, because when I was still in primary school, I could see my cousin, who is 3 years older than me. She was already in middle school, and one day I saw her doing her English homework, uh-huh. and I thought, oh my God, that's amazing. She can read and write in another language. I found it very fascinating. So when I started middle school, I couldn't wait.
Ah, so you were really excited.
I really wanted, I was excited about it.
So you were not like me. I couldn't stand English when I was at school.
No, I loved it. It's always been one of my favorite subjects.
So you were fascinated by the language.
Yes.
So you were very excited about starting. How was the result? How were the results? I mean, how did you find? Did you find it effective?
Okay,
did you find it?
Yes, I mean, I've always studied hard, so I knew the grammar, the rules, the language pretty well, written and spoken. But I didn't feel like very confident. I wasn't really fluent. I always had to think before speaking.
Did you used to think in Italian and translate, or if you remember what you did?
Well, probably yes. I don't know if I... not really a translation. I wasn't what you call a fluent person. I could speak very well.
But you were afraid.
And write very well, but not as well as today. The real change came when I decided to move to London.
Okay, but wait a second before that, because we have to say, how many years ago was middle school?
That was many years ago.
Yeah, like 2000?
No, earlier than that. University was 23, 25 years ago.
So before 2000?
I got my degree in 2000.
So let's say that in that period there was no internet, no podcasts, no Netflix.
Exactly.
I remember that I returned from Ireland in 2001 with a full bag of videotapes in English, because it was the only way.
It was very difficult to get hold of a film, you know, in the original language, in the mother tongue.
Yeah.
I remember at the high school, sometimes during the what we call Assemblea d'Istituto.
General Assembly, but they don't have it.
No, they don't. But anyway, very often they would show a film in English. Because it was not something that you could do
at home.
Yes, you could buy, if pre-ordered it from the newsagent.
Yeah, but it was
buy,
really,
you know,
really
like,
difficult.
Because,
Speak Up,
yes,
there was.
Like Speak Up, the magazine, I think it's been existing for many years. So there was something similar at the time.
No, I remember
you
Speak Up.
You could book in advance with the newsagent if there was a film coming out.
It was expensive.
It's not as easy as it is today.
And then you can choose with subtitles, without subtitles in Italian. It's interactive. How was your teacher, your English teacher at the middle school? Was she good? Or he good? Not good, did he speak English well, good pronunciation?
Well, at the time it was a very traditional teaching method. Lots of grammar and then copying and writing the dialogue from the book could learn
the spelling. Okay, but not a lot of listening.
Lots of reading the dialogue many times for the pronunciation.
But not listening and speaking very much. Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I can't remember. It was lots of years ago.
Yes. The main change was when you moved to London. When you moved to London, you already... So you had some background of English. So you didn't go there just blinded.
I had already finished university. My level of English was already very good.
What was it? Could say upper intermediate?
It was upper intermediate, advanced. But
Your confidence,
myself,
your confidence.
I didn't feel confident. Yeah. So I moved to London to look for a job, and I wanted to stay for a year or so, and I ended up staying 8 years.
8 years. You wanted to learn English very well. Yeah?
But this doesn't mean that the only way to improve your English is to move to an English-speaking country.
Yeah, it is the best way anyway.
It is the best way,
if you can,
but not the only way today. I went to school, high school, university, 25 years ago.
And it was your only option.
And I didn't have internet as you have it today.
Yeah.
I didn't have access to podcasts, YouTube. There was only the music. Yes, we used to listen to
music,
foreign music, English pop,
but
you know,
reading the lyrics,
reading the lyrics and stuff like that.
Studying the language. But let's say something, because it's some people think, it's the only way is to go abroad. Okay,
no.
The best way is to go abroad. Of course, the best way, if you can, if you have the money, if you have the time,
exactly,
if you have the courage.
Yes.
It takes a lot of courage. Go abroad. But the point is that when you went abroad, it was the only option, but you already spoken the language.
Yes.
So that means that even in Italy, you can achieve an advanced level.
Of course.
Because you were advanced before going to London.
Yes.
In London, you just got the confidence, the fluency.
The confidence in speaking the language.
In speaking the language, in thinking in English.
I already had the confidence in writing or grammar, but speaking.
There you did the quantum leap, the big change.
Yes.
But because some people think, oh, I don't speak English at all, I go to London and I will speak English.
No, that's not true. No.
If you don't study, if you don't practice.
You need to practice.
You need to practice, study.
You need some study anyway. Otherwise, you'll end up also learning mistakes or...
Yeah, speaking like a very bad English, like when people from Africa or from other countries come here, poor people, they learn the Italian language just by picking it on everyday situations, that they speak Italian really badly.
And they don't improve. It happens.
No,
I mean, there are Italians who have been living in London, England in general, for 20 years, and they still speak with a heavy Italian accent or with the same mistakes that, you know, they had at the beginning.
Some people are stuck in the pre-intermediate level for life, you know?
It depends on how motivated you are, how careful you are in listening, trying to pick up things. And
would you say that, you know, I relate to myself, that curiosity is the ingredient?
Of course. If you're not curious,
even if you go abroad,
doesn't
really matter. Yeah. I remember I had some friends in the past, not friends, but let's say some acquaintances that. They lived in England for a year or two.
Yes.
They came back. After 1 year or 2 years, they couldn't speak English anymore because they weren't curious. So they have the memory, but they are still blocked when they speak. They're still not fluent. They still think in Italian when you speak English. So it's the best way, but it's not the magic potion, is it?
Curiosity and practice, training. I mean, we ourselves, we continue to train all the time. I mean, I read Speak Up myself. I read books in English. I watch films in English because I need to keep my English alive and up to date.
Yeah. So you do that because you want to keep your English alive, and on the other hand, because also I think, I don't know if you can relate to this, but the material I find in English, they don't exist in Italian.
Yes,
so sometimes
exactly.
I find podcasts, books, films, that they are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And in Italian, they just don't exist.
Also, there are lots of free courses on the internet, but they're only in English.
So we're talking now about how you use English every day. Can you tell me other ways? You use it for work, for pleasure?
I use it for work. I teach English. I work at school. I also have a couple of friends of mine. They wanted to learn from scratch. I am also a translator.
So you're a professional translator?
Yes, I'm a professional translator. And because I'm not a full-time teacher, so I also need something else, you know, when school is not there.
So you teach English
during
at
the
school?
During the summer, yes. I work as
lessons.
A translator, yes. During my experience in London, I made friends from all over the world. So I used to live with girls from other countries, a couple of friends in the United States, a couple of friends in Australia, in South Africa, in Hong Kong.
Beautiful.
I still have friends in London, so I keep in touch with them. There's a friend of mine, like one of my best friends, and she calls me, I mean, we speak very often.
So you keep it up to date, like with real English. You have native speakers friends and
non-native.
Native.
So this is the real English nowadays. You know, it's not just native speakers.
No. Yeah.
It's
both.
People from
all over the country. From all over the countries.
Exactly.
All over the world, actually. So that's very interesting. It's interesting how everybody who uses English has a lot of jobs, a lot of interests. Even last time I was speaking to Katyusha, my other friend, and she said that she teaches English, she does this, she does that, she goes abroad. And all the people I know that speak English, they have this thing in common. So they don't do one job.
No, exactly.
They have many jobs, many interests.
Exactly.
Would you agree with me that, you know, speaking English, not knowing English, not learning English, but speaking English gives you like a lot of...
lots of more opportunities.
Yeah,
and
like,
so you can choose.
You can choose
just have and do one thing in
yeah,
your life.
And then I feel like you want to learn more because
exactly.
you have a key that gives you access to
the more you learn,
everything.
The more you get curious. And
I never thought about this, but all the people who speak English have this.
And, you know, even for something silly like a hobby, you know, I do belly dancing.
Ah.
Okay, belly dancing.
So you're a dancer.
I'm a dancer.
Yeah, I remember because I saw you on a show. She's
okay,
really
not
good, by the way.
I'm not a professional dancer,
yeah, but you're
okay?
Good.
I don't
you're
do
good.
That as a job, but as a hobby. But anyway, there are workshops with the international masters from Egypt. And these workshops are in English. So that's another thing that you can access to this thing. For example, there are only a few girls that don't speak English. And when they come to these workshops, are in trouble.
Yeah, they are.
And then
trouble.
If I'm there, normally I am the interpreter.
Yeah, so you must do the job for them, yeah.
In general, there are big events, and because it's an international event and there are participants from all over the world,
yeah.
the official language
is
English.
I went to, I've been to some of these international events. Even if you are translated into Italian, you lose the effect, I think, of the teacher, you know? If you know the language, it's much better anyway. How would you suggest people today that they want to learn English, they want to practice English, that they can't go abroad, they don't have a lot of opportunity to have a private teacher, or they have but they want to do more? How what would you do? What would you suggest?
Okay, my number one advice is always to do lots of reading and listening. I mean, Katyusha has already spoken about listening, watching movies in English
that's
the previous podcast. Reading, there are lots of opportunities as well. Even if your level of English is really basic, you can find readers in bookshops of even famous novels, books, but reduced and
adapted
to your level.
Or you can find
magazines like we have already mentioned Speak Up. So reading is very important to increase your vocabulary.
I think Speak Up is the best option, isn't it?
Yes.
The magazine Speak Up.
Yes. It's easy to find. You can find it in any newsagent. And
it has a lot of variety.
It's a monthly magazine, so it's not like you have to buy it every week.
It has a lot of a selection of articles.
It's useful to improve your vocabulary.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
because
learn
the more
words.
Vocabulary you know, the easiest it is for you to
also to understand.
To understand. Far as speaking is concerned, you can if you can't go abroad, etc. You could maybe look for clubs. If there are clubs in your town or city, or you can even create one. By club, I mean, you know, a group of people interested in keeping their English alive, who meet once a week, once a month, and just speak English. I got this idea because when I was in France, in Lyon, during my Erasmus experience, a friend of mine and I found this group called California Club. It was, in Lyon. And it was a group of French people of, a mixture of age, older
background,
people,
yeah.
young people, backgrounds.
It's good.
And they met once every fortnight, I think, once every 2 weeks, just to speak and practice English, and everybody would bring some food and we would have brunch together.
Okay, but this is an idea that I heard many times, but it often ends up in speaking the natural language. Your experience there, was it effective? Like, people did speak English, or it was like only the first 10 minutes and then ended up Taraluce Bino.
No, we spoke English because spoke English. We were all from different backgrounds, from different countries. I was Italian. Most of them were French.
They speak English?
But yes, yeah. The meeting, I mean, every time maybe there was a new person, so you know, you imagine it's like a small party with food and you eat and then hi, I'm Barbara, you know, what's your name, where are you from, what do you do? I love that. And it worked, yes. They organized also short trips outside the city,
English.
Just to meet. It was an occasion to practice and to meet new people.
Yeah, because until now we spoke about like reading and studying. That's only for English. But if you add socializing, that makes it even better.
Of course,
yes?
If you create the club yourself, and at the beginning it's just you. And your friend and another friend, there is the risk that you end up just speaking in Italian.
Yeah.
But if you advertise the club and you invite other people,
you must speak English. Yeah. Would you agree with me that at least you need three people?
Yes.
Yeah, three people. I think also you need a leader who is in charge of making sure that everybody speaks English.
Yes.
So a leader who's in charge and say, English, please. And if you don't speak English, get out of my house. You know?
Yes,
you can start tomorrow inviting two friends of yours who want to speak English. Everybody wants to speak English.
Word of mouth, the news can spread.
I think it's a good idea. But start today and tomorrow. I think everybody has at least two friends that want to speak English.
Yes.
It's impossible not to have two friends who want. That's really good for now. Would you like to add anything? Some tips, something you want to leave our listeners?
You know, if you're motivated, just keep up with your effort to do as much as you can to read and listen and to improve your English. Don't give up. I mean, mistakes happen. Nobody is perfect. Even if I lived in London for many years, a couple of years ago, I gave the proficiency test and I was worried that I might not pass it because you never
really
know.
It's difficult. Yeah.
I had to train and you just have to keep up working.
Yeah, I think you gave me the last idea, the Cambridge ESOL test. The most famous is there are CAT, PET, first certificate, CAE and proficiency.
CPE, yes.
And CPE is proficiency.
The proficiency.
These tests are really useful if you want to have an objective so you can study. Otherwise, sometimes, like for example, my level, I don't have more objectives because I feel like, okay, I speak English, I understand everything.
Yes.
So taking one of these exams for me would be a good opportunity to go back to the books.
It gives you a target
to study. So even if you're advanced, find something to do never stop learning. Practice, as I always say. Thank you very much, Barbara, for this
You're
opportunity.
Welcome.
And by the way, Barbara is one of the writers on my blog because there are a few articles that you've written.
Yes, that I've written in the past.
And Barbara writes articles on English culture, but based on her experience. And if you want to read more about Barbara, you find her on my blog, inglesevero.blogspot.com, and just comment. blogspot.com and just comment and you say hello Barbara. Okay, thank you very much, Barbara.
Okay, thank you
for being here. Bye bye. Cheers, bye. Grazie per aver ascoltato questo episodio del podcast di Inglese Vero. A seconda del tuo livello, ti consiglio di riascoltare il podcast più e più volte per poter capire meglio, ma soprattutto per poter farci l'orecchio. Ogni persona che intervisto ha un modo di parlare inglese diverso dall'altra e serve un po' di tempo per farci l'abitudine. Se il podcast ti è piaciuto e ti è sembrato interessante, aiutami a diffonderlo condividendolo con i tuoi amici e soprattutto lasciandomi un commento. Mi aiuterai così a poter proseguire e fare altre interviste sempre più utili, interessanti e perché no, anche di altre. Scarica la rivista digitale gratuita Update Selection dal mio sito www.inglesevero.it se vuoi mantenere il tuo inglese e praticarlo in modo concreto o in modo vero, come lo chiamo io. Nel sito troverai anche numerosi video, contenuti e curiosità per il tuo inglese vero. Thank you very much and see you.